O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. We turn to Psalm 22.
Tell of your name to my brother.
midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Prosperity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the 2nd time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying these same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, 1 of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer, who had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man," seized him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then he came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Hymn 453.
Gladly tender, all that my life can.
Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" And they answered, "He deserves death." And then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Hymn 451.
Son of man and Son of God.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas his betrayer saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Psalm 454.
Sing the ending of the fray. Now
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put on his own clothes and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests, with the scribes and elders, mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Or 50.
Sacred head now wounded with grief.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." Barabbas, the infamous insurrectionist that no one knows anything about, at least not us. There's not much for us to go on except what we hear about him in the Gospels. History didn't think too much of him to write down any of his accomplishments for the annals of time. But for the people in Jerusalem, he had a reputation, a rather notorious one. He was a renowned criminal, thrown in prison for trying to overthrow the government. Was it the Jewish authorities or the Roman? Probably a little bit of both. But the Romans wouldn't have seized him if all he had done was try to do away with the high priest. So he was enough of a menace to be dealt with. He was enough of a threat to be thrown into prison and sentenced to die. Contrast that with this Jesus fellow. Surely Pilate knew nothing of this man until he was brought before him that Friday morning. Surely this was an inconvenience. That's why Pilate tried to give him back to the Jewish authorities and later tried to pawn him off on Herod. But neither of those tactics seemed to work, because a couple of hours later, Jesus was standing before Pilate once again. It's curious that the chief priests and elders claim that Jesus was an insurrectionist too. Comparing him and Barabbas was really no comparison whatsoever. One man was a threat. One man was guilty of the crimes that he was charged with. One man deserved to be in chains and sentenced to death. The other man shouldn't even be standing before Pilate. But there he is, meek little Jesus, face cast down, barely uttering a word in his defense. And the situation outside has somehow swelled to the brink of a riot, almost as if this whole thing has been orchestrated by powers and authorities outside of Pilate's control. He had a lot of things to consider. Was he willing to let justice stand no matter what followed? Was he willing to put his reputation and his career on the line for this nobody Jew? Probably not. But to grant the sentence that the chief priests were asking for, even for Pilate, was a difficult thing to swallow. So after Jesus was led back to him a second time, and after Pilate had questioned him and found no guilt in the man whatsoever, he seemed to be at a loss. Perhaps the crowds just wanted a little bit of blood. A good scourging should do the trick. Tear apart this man's back with whips and reeds, ridicule and mock him for all the world to see. Perhaps that would teach this Jesus to stay in his lane and not anger the powers that be. And more than that, hopefully it would quench the bloodlust that was coursing through the veins of the chief priest and which had now infected the crowd outside his palace. That was an odd thing too. Earlier this week, this man had been welcomed by the people of Jerusalem almost like a king, and now they're calling for his head. Amazing the changes that can happen over the course of a few days. But to Pilate's surprise, even this wasn't enough. What Jesus would endure by the hands of his soldiers should have well paid for whatever crimes he had committed, even though Pilate was sure he hadn't committed any. But as he presented him before the crowd, dressed in a mocked kingly fashion, it seemed to only incite the crowd for more blood. A good beating wasn't going to cut it. They wouldn't be happy until Jesus was dead. So Pilate had one last ace tucked up his sleeve. As a sign of good faith, to show the crowds that he was magnanimous, Pilate would free one of their own. But to make sure that he could stack the deck in Jesus' favor, he had to find a man that no one would want back on the streets. Give the crowds the choice between a meek and mild nobody Jesus and a mass murderer, and the choice would be no choice at all. So Pilate sent to the dungeons to gather up the most notorious villain that could be found. Enter Barabbas. Here was a man who deserved to be in prison. Here is a man who had already been sentenced to death. Two thieves were already set to be crucified. If the crowd wanted more blood, then Pilate could give it to them. What trouble was there in adding another cross to the hill? Besides that, he would be free of this Jesus problem, and Barabbas as well. But the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. To Pilate's amazement, the crowd prefers Barabbas. For whatever reason, God only knows, they would rather have a murdering insurrectionist, a violent criminal, a sinner, a real sinner like Barabbas in their midst than to suffer this Jesus of Nazareth, whose only crime seemed to be that he wouldn't lift a finger or utter a word in his own defense. Again, it was almost as if some higher power was at play, and no matter what Pilate tried to do, Jesus was destined for his crucifixion destiny. All that was left for him to do was give the crowd what they wanted, but not before he washed his hands of this whole charade, as if that symbolic act could remove innocent blood from Pilate's impotent hands. And it's here, then, that I would like to turn our attention once again to Barabbas. Do me a favor and imagine for just a moment that you're him. Place yourself in his shoes, or better said, in his chains. There you sit in your prison cell. You're there for a reason. You're there because that is what you have earned. And now all you have is the time and the world. All you have is the rest of your life, which isn't going to be that long, to sit and ponder your crimes, your actions, your sins of head, heart, and hands. You've gotten what you deserve. There's no trying to justify your way out of it like you have before. When met with the end, when you come to the place where there's absolutely no way of escape, when all of your appeals have been shot down and all of your self-justification has been met with silence, you only have your sin to keep you company, that and your impending death. I have to believe that's where Barabbas was. And then all of a sudden, you get dragged out of your cage. You expect the executioner to be at the end of the tunnel. You steel yourself for the hangman and his noose, for the crucifixion man and his cross. But where you emerge is not the gallows, but instead you're brought before Pilate and placed before a frenzied crowd who's calling out for blood. And surely it's going to be your blood. But you're told that Pilate is going to release a prisoner, and it's down to two, and you're one of them. There's a slight gasp of hope at the ends of these words until you see the other man. Standing before you is a pitiful mess of a man who's already been slapped around enough to make him mute. And any hope that you have of getting away, of being free, just slips away to despondency and deep depression. They call this man Jesus. And from what you can gather, this is all a mockery. There's no way that you will be chosen instead of him. There's no way that you, with all of your sin, with all of your real and horrific sin, the likes of which only a fraction have been made public, there's no way that you, a sinner, a sinner's sinner, is going to walk free today. And above all this, there's no way that this Jesus is going to be sentenced to death. To your death, to the death that you deserve. Because there's no possible way on earth that this man deserved anything that has already happened to him, let alone to be strung up naked on a cross. But then you hear it. At first, it's a small murmur that's barely audible, rising up from the back of the crowd. Then it grows, it swells, it rolls out like a wave that is at once amazing and yet unbelievable. Barabbas. Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. They're calling your name. But what about the other guy? What's to be done with him? Let him be crucified. What? Why? What evil has he done? Let him be crucified. Your chains are undone, your shackles unfettered, and you stand there free. Free from prison, free from the crimes that you have most certainly committed and been found guilty of. Free from the sins that you have committed and have seemingly gotten away with. Free from guilt, free from shame, free from punishment, free from death. And certainly, you must be overcome with euphoria. Surely this can't be happening. Is it a dream? It has to be a dream. It's too good to be true, too gracious to be real, too merciful to actually be happening. The law now seems to have nothing to say to you. And all that there is left is this gospelly goodness that has declared you free and guiltless and alive and, dare I say, forgiven. And then there's Jesus. As they lead him away, he says absolutely nothing. All this time, his mouth has been silent like some sacrificial lamb. And even now, when his last glimmer of hope has been dashed, he doesn't move his lips. He doesn't point the finger at you. He doesn't scream, "It should be him." You know what he's done. You know what he is. You know that he's a sinner. Just a silence that's resolved to that which has been unjustly placed before him and upon him. Almost as if he expected all of this to happen and he willingly allowed it to all unfold. They take him to the place of the skull, to the place called Golgotha, and there he is crucified. There he takes all your sins that you should have paid for, all of the punishment that you should have received. There he takes the just wrath that you deserved. There he is named a criminal, a murderer, an insurrectionist, an adulterer, a thief, a heathen. There he's named Barabbas. There he's named as the sinner. And that means that you aren't anymore. He's taken your sin. And he's taken your punishment. And he's taken your guilt. And he's taken your death and given you life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it must have been like to be Barabbas? You don't have to. You are Barabbas. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hymn 448.
Child of war. struck the blow that killed our gracious Master. It was I, thy sinless self, I have wrought disaster. Thy bridegroom dead, God's Lamb has bled upon thy sin forever, pouring out his sinless self in this vast endeavor. Such innocence is countenance, a fount of faith undying, worlds on worlds cannot contain, grief at him were lying. O virgin son, what thou hast won is far beyond all tally. How our God detested died, hell and devil failing. O Jesus Christ, who sacrificed thy life for lifeless mortals, be my life in death and bring me to heaven's portals.
O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men, to suffer death upon the cross. For it was you who willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Four 34.
Pure and holy, who on the cross did suffer, ever pain. myself to scorn, disoffer. All sins thou pourest for us, else had despairing o'er us. Have mercy on us, O Jesus, O Jesus. Lamb of God, pure and holy, who on the cross did suffer, ever patient and lowly, thyself to scorn didst offer. All sins thou bearest for us, else had despairing o'er us. Have mercy on us, O Jesus, O Jesus. Lamb of God, pure and holy, who on the cross did suffer, ever patient and lowly, thyself to scorn didst offer. All sins thou bearest for us, else had despairing o'er us. Thy peace be with us, O Jesus. O Jesus.